Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie here in St. Louis. Only going to be here about a week, and it's back to Los Angeles. Then we got a number of speaking engagements and events coming up. Just simply go to our website just to track where I'm going to be at any given time under the host section or the calendar section at the bottom, and then show up, whether I'm in L.A. or Pensacola or wherever I'm speaking. Let's go to the phones east of the Rockies. Chris in Hopatcong, New Jersey. Welcome to the show. Hey, Chris. Hi.
Hey, George. How's it going tonight?
It's good. And how about you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Hey, listen, it's a pleasure to be on with you.
Thanks.
It's a first-time call that I got to speak with you.
Great.
And I've been a long-time listener. So I was listening to you talking with Mr. Rubin about the lucid dreams and all that. I figured I had to call in.
Okay.
I've had a natural connection with lucid dreaming. I've been a lucid dreamer since I've been a young child. And I think that it may have something to do with a little bit with numerology. I was born on November 1st of 1980 at 1:11 in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect. And it's strange to me, you know, like my 33rd birthday will be November 1st of 2013. I was born November 1st of 1980, and I was wondering if you had any input to that, if you've heard any type of, you know, anybody say that before. You know, I know you've had numerology people on before, and I've always wondered if that was any significant correlation.
As a matter of fact, Chris, a few days after your birth date on November 11th, after we do our special Veterans Night Hour with Daniel Brinkley, Glynis McCants will be our guest. And try to call in if you can, because I'd like you to ask her that specifically. She's the best. She's the numbers lady. You can also go to her website, numberslady.com. She might be able to help you out as well. November 11, by the way, this year is going to be very, very strange, because let me tell you the setting in L.A., and I'm going to be in L.A. during that time period. We've got a digital clock, so it reads the time based on digits. So when it is November 11, it'll be 11-11-11, right? And then at 11 o'clock at night, 11 minutes, and also has seconds, it'll be 11-11-11, 11-11-11. I have no idea what the heck that means. But we're going to talk with Glynis McCants about that. Numbers are strange, but they seem to work. Let's go to first-time caller Albert in Carthage, Texas. Albert, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
How close are you to all the fires, Albert?
I'm pretty close. I'm pretty close. Actually, for about a whole week, the air has been really bad. You know, because I'm pretty close to Nacogdoches.
Have you guys gotten any rain at all in the last few days?
Yeah, we did get some last week, but it dried up as fast as it came.
Yeah, we need more. We keep our experiments.
Yeah, a whole lot more.
Yeah.
A whole lot more. But look, I want to tell you that I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
And I also want to say that, you know, I wanted to talk to David about dreams. Also, I want to tell you a sighting that I saw in 1993, but I'll go back. Let me go to the sighting first.
All right.
In 1993, me and my wife are coming back from East Texas going to Houston. And on 59, if you know that road, there's two lanes going south and two lanes going north, and then you got the big media. Well, as we were driving down, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, there was this big green, I can say it was like a glow-in-the-dark color, and it was just hovering right across 59.
Isn't that eerie when you see that? I mean, it's like a movie, isn't it?
And you know, I've always said, you know, I don't believe nothing until I see it. And you couldn't make me believe nothing. when I saw this, I looked at my wife and I go, look at this. What is this? And just like David was saying, don't ever get close to it. Watch it. Well, I speeded up because I wanted to get close to it. When I got pretty close to it, it hovered right across the roads, like to the shoulder part, and then it shot at a 45-degree angle. It was huge, and it shot right a 45-degree angle into the sky, and it disappeared.
Wow! And I guess no sound either, right, Albert?
No sound.
No.
It was quiet, And actually, me and my wife didn't say nothing for about 5 minutes. I looked at her and I said, don't tell nobody. They won't believe it. And after that, I started actually looking into it. And, well, I listen to you all the time, and I watch Ancient Aliens.
Aliens, great show.
That. Yeah, I love that show. Actually, I got a bunch of them recorded. And but I wanted to go back to David on the dreams, and I do believe in that, manifesting your dreams and
stuff. Oh, there's no question about it.
You might not believe this or not, but I've had like a long time ago, I used to be in the construction business, and I would literally be stuck on something, and I could not figure it out. I would go to sleep knowing what I had to do, and I could figure it out while I was asleep and wake up in the morning and go, and I could actually fix it the way I fixed it in my dream.
It solves your problems. It's an incredible tool, isn't it?
It really is, and it's worked, and I believe it.
Yep, it is there all the time. Albert, thanks for the call. Roy is on our special hotline, which is our scariest moment line from Rupert, Georgia. Roy, go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Norrie. I'm not one to relate to things about myself much, but I've been up here all night. I was 81 August 3rd. And here I am, in the eastern zone. I did have one of those moments more like seconds, I guess, probably. I don't know. I thought I went over on the other side, and I believe I did. I am in May, the closest to my 75th birthday in August of 2005. I was hospitalized, I guess, for the second or third time in my whole 75 years. And I had this, 60-year-old friend of the last of third of a century with me in the hospital. And I have a gastric condition. I have to go down and be put kind of to sleep on the limited anesthesia, whatever. And somebody with a wheelchair woman came and was outside the door waiting. And then this guy was with me, all this years. And he got to talk to three or four women there getting me ready to go down there. And I got scared. I guess
you
could call it a panic attack or something. And I couldn't get his attention because he was so fascinated with those women there. He's been alone all his life himself, like me. And so although he has two children, I have one. Still, both of us have been by ourselves all our life. And anyway, I can understand his fascination with those women, but I couldn't get his attention. I had him screaming, don't let him take me, David. Don't let him take me. Don't let him take me. And so because that woman put that damn wheelchair was scary. And so everything went bright, totally bright. And I know I went over on the other side, and because it was as bright as a brightest day, noonday sun on 4th of July. And other than that, I can't remember much about it.
Well, you saw the other side, Ray. You saw the other side, and I'm glad you came back. I really am. Let's go to Vince in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Go ahead, Vince.
Good morning, George.
Morning, Vince. What's up?
First of all, let me tell you, we had a fire in the marsh in New Orleans East. And after 14 inches of rain, it's still burning, I swear to God. I don't know how.
What's going on there? Yeah, it is.
Well, the mayor had ordered the National Guard to start dumping water on it, and they said this morning, I saw it on the news, it's still burning. That's pretty wild.
It is.
But the reason I am calling, I have the solution for our economic woes. Absolutely.
Well, you do. I hope somebody does.
Absolutely do.
What do we do?
What do we do? The first thing we do is we put a 10% sales tax on every cash register from coast to coast, and our economic problems are, they're in the black immediately, if they truly wanted to solve the problem.
Now, would you do away with the income tax, or would you have that in addition to?
I think that'll do it, but we could do a flat tax too, but it would require to do away with our biggest bureaucracy, which is the IRS, and everybody loves them guys.
Well, it's the Fair Tax Program, and you're absolutely right. I've been supporting that for years.
Well, one piece of tax right there through the registers, coast to coast, would solve the problem if they wanted to solve them. But they are using that. That's their tool.
That is their tool. You're absolutely right. Look, Vince, every year around tax time, we get the folks on from the Fair Tax because I think some kind of major revision of the IRS code and the way they tax us needs to be changed. We need to bring it into the new era that we're in, and we need to do it in a fair way, but we need to do it in a very aggressive way, and I think Americans, especially now, should hold on to most of their money, and instead it goes out the window. You know, if you had an extra 20 or 25% every year, you'd put a little bit more in savings, you'd spend a little bit more, you'd have a better time, life would be a little more simpler, and I think we need to do that. Let's go to Karen in Pueblo, Colorado, and you're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Karen, good morning.
Good morning, George. Two things. First thing, real quick. Many times I hear you mentioning ham or amateur radio on your shows related to commercials, so see crane radios.
Yes.
I was wondering if you would ever consider doing a show about amateur radio and what hams do during emergencies, and also that it's a great hobby during the rest of the time.
Well, not a bad idea. You know, Art's a ham, and, you know, we've taken a lot of phone calls from people who during crises and other disasters have helped us out because, as you know, Karen, ham radio operators, they're there instantly.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
No, I've been a ham since 68. The other thing I want to talk to you about is upcoming 2012, on December 21st, I hear people talking about the world's going to end and all these other things, and I personally don't think we're going to have all that. However, what does concern me is the possibilities of cults like Heaven's Gate, Jonestown,
mm-hmm.
things such as that, where on the 22nd, we're going to wake up to horrible news of mass suicides.
Well, look at this group that thought they were going to be taken in May, and now they think it's October 21st. And they're dead set for it. They think this is going to happen. We're gone. The end of the world is here. I have said exactly what you say. I don't think the world is coming to an end on December 21st, 2012. I do suspect some kind of solar event. I think the Mayans understood celestial events, and I think the sun's starting to do some strange stuff. But I'm going to be on the air that Friday night, Karen, and I guarantee you, we'll be still talking that night into the morning hours.
Oh, I believe it. But also, I agree, there's a lot of solar activity. The HF bands for ham radio have been wide open lately on a limited station that I have set up right now. I was talking to Hawaii, which is somewhat unusual for the bands that I was on.
Huh. What's the most unusual thing that you've ever chatted about on a ham radio with somebody?
Oh, not actually anything unusual, just radio frank conditions. Exchanged a few recipes, talked about the different equipment, how to set it up properly, different ideas people have about communications, what's going to be the next thing that hams will be playing with.
Have you ever listened in on some catastrophe and the ham radio operators were chatting back and forth?
Actually, I was living in New Orleans during Katrina. I was communications officer for the Red Cross, and I stayed in my home on the North Shore along with about 9 evacuees from the South Shore in the New Orleans area, and 7 of those were hams, and we ran what's called health and welfare out of my house for about 3 weeks, which is collecting information from people in shelters and hospitals locally and letting their loved ones out of state know that their families are okay. We also handle communications from emergency management and other agencies.
Good for you. That's a tremendous tool. And we'll do that. We'll do maybe an hour or so on that. I would, you know, just open the lines for just ham radio operators because I'm fascinated by the things that they hear and pass on. Let's go to Anthony in Las Vegas, 7 or 11. Anthony, take it away.
Hey, George. Good morning.
Good morning to you, too.
I just wanted to get your impression on some things that are happening in my house. I might think that the spirit of my grandfather has come back to visit us.
Why do you think that?
Well, he passed away from cancer in February, and he was always someone who was really not spiritual, you know. So for these things to happen, it's kind of weird. Now, I'm a security guard, so I come home really late at night. And I came home the other night, and I, for the first time, his garage was open, and his garage hasn't been open since he's passed away. And no one opened it, so that was kind of strange. I thought maybe someone did it, but I asked everyone the next morning. No one had, you know, said they hadn't touched it. Now, I had gone in my room one night, and I went to, you know, take a shower and stuff, and I came back out. And my grandfather's French doors were open, and I could have sworn that I felt a cold breeze blown on me from, you know, I'm not sure, so...
Yeah, but you suspect. You suspect him. Why do you think he would come back at this point?
You know, I think really to visit my grandmother, you know, because she was really heartbroken. She was married to him for 50 years. And
oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, it was really hard on our family and stuff. But we've just had, like, little occurrences happen that are just, I don't feel like they're coincidence, you know.
Are you kind of glad he's hanging around?
You know, my grandma, she feels that if he might be, she feels that he might be trapped and not in heaven. So
she's concerned about that.
Yeah, she's concerned. I kind of have the approach that maybe he has a message for us, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I've gone out there and sat out there late at night hoping that I would see him walk up and sit on the couch with me, but that hasn't happened yet. It's just... It's been little things. Like the other night, we have a blender and the bass turned on by itself.
Well, it sounds like he does. He might have a message for you. Or maybe he wants to comfort her for a little bit before he moves on. Well, we're going to move on, but we're coming right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Open Lines. Now, let's go back to our scariest hotline for Emmy, truck driving in Iowa. What happened, Emmy? What was the scariest moment for you?
I used to haul containers in and out of Chicago, and there's a Union Pacific Railroad off of State Street and 63rd Street.
Okay.
And I was coming out of there, and the guys in there had just told me that There was a ghost that floated around that a UPS driver had gotten killed years ago in there. Well, they said that he floats from UPS or the UP rail yards. He floats around in all them rail yards. Well, I was going from that rail yard to another UP rail yard up underneath. It was off of Canal Street. So I'm bobtailing up Archer, going underneath 55, and all of a sudden my windshield got busted in on the driver's side. And a spade shovel, they were working on Interstate 55 going north, and all the construction workers had left all their equipment up there.
Oh.
And the vibration of all the traffic was, you know, it vibrated that shovel off the edge. Well, it came down, hit my windshield, and the spade shovel went between my steering wheel and my dashboard.
Oh.
I thought I was being shot at.
Oh, my God.
It scared me out of my skin. And I never did make it to that rail yard because I couldn't drive my truck.
You know, that thing, if that shovel had hit you, Emmy, it could have chopped your head off.
Yeah. The only good thing about it is that the construction company had somehow put their name and address and phone number on the handle of the shovel. So my boss contacted them and told them what happened. And so I'm sure he got money out of it to get his truck fixed, but... That out of all the years I've been driving, that's got to be about the scariest thing that has ever happened.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the sound alone probably would have made you jump through the roof, huh?
Oh, it literally sounded like a gunshot. And then the windshield shattered.
And until you see the shovel, you have no idea what's going on.
Oh, yeah, I had a sleeper truck, and I was on the floor right now. I mean, I had no idea what was going on, and I wasn't in the best neighborhood anyway.
I don't blame you. That's what we're doing, the scariest moment. Here's that phone number, 818-817-0021. And as you know, we take your text questions. That number is 818-298-6521. And Tom is back in Los Angeles and has one for me. Go ahead, Tom. Tommy, where are you?
George. Hello, George.
There you go.
Wow, where'd I go?
You disappeared.
That was weird. Could you imagine getting hit in the face with a shovel?
No.
No.
That's something I would not want to imagine.
What a story. Jason from Boston has a text. He says, "Hi, George. I'm listening to the Scariest Moment Hotline, and I was wondering, what in life really scares you, and how do you get rid of the fear?"
Well, you can't get rid of the fear. I mean, that's what you have. But I tell you what scares me the most, and then I'm going to ask you, Tom. Anything happening to my kids, that scares me. Not myself, nothing, but them, that scares me. What about you?
Well, first of all, I happen to also know that you are scared of clowns.
Well, I don't like clowns. It's not that I'm scared of clowns. I mean, I'll go running down the street screaming.
So they don't scare you. They just wig you out.
They wig me out. Now, what are you afraid of?
You know, really not much, but I will tell you, I was thinking about this, and The Exorcist just freaked me out and scared me.
When her head turned.
Everything, the voices and the gym, you know, just the whole thing. I mean, I don't get really scared at those movies and stuff, but it was scary.
Did you sleep that night?
No, as a matter of fact, I had a hard time sleeping when I watched it. But did you ever see Stanley Kubrick's The Shining?
Yes, oh, of course, many times. Classic.
Did that scare you?
Yeah, it did. I'll tell you the scene that scared me the most was when he froze.
That was weird.
That was kind of a weird scene.
What about the little girls, the twins?
Well, yeah, that was scary too. But, I mean, the freezing part was weird. And then the shot of Jack Nicholson frozen out there.
Something about kids just scares you. But The Exorcist for me is just really kind of impacting me. Other than that, I don't really get scared too much.
Okay, back to the calls.
Thanks.
All right, next up, let's go to Christian in Los Angeles. Hey, Christian, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I've called in before. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Yeah, I just wanted to say quick, just three things. With the previous guest you had, 6 months before September 11th occurred, I had like this really very visual dream that I imagined a lot of people in this country were going to die, and it was going to be some form of an event, like a terrorist attack. But of course, you know, in the days afterward, it was so vivid, but yet I forgot about it because I just thought, oh, it's just one of those weird, freaky dreams you get. And then 9/11 occurred. So it kind of like precognition.
That's the thing with these kind of dreams, Christian.
Yeah.
You have to be able to know what it is and interpret it as such.
Yeah.
Because so many of us, we get these feelings, but we just let them go through, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and the second thing I wanted to add to it is no disrespect to our heroes who've served, to the many who died that day. And it was a horrible event. I saw it happen live, as many of us did.
Yes.
But when you look at people such as, like, you had a guest last week, Jim Mars, and I'm reading his books, David Ray Griffin. I think it's obvious that 9/11, the government has not been very honest with us about what happened about 9/11. And any time you try to question in the status quo, the official story, the 9/11 commission, any time you try to say anything or say, you know, the corporate-owned media do everything they can to make you look like an idiot. It's like if you look at the Pentagon, for example, it just doesn't look like an airplane crashing in the Pentagon because the damage is so small. It's like somebody went in with a knife, and it's like cutting a piece of cake. It's very symmetrical and neat. The government never really fully informed us or told us about the collapse of World Trade Center number 7. I think obviously there are a lot of holes in what happened on September 11th, and I don't think the government's really going to ever come out. I don't think what's like the Kennedy assassination.
Well, Christian, you're absolutely right, though. There are a lot of holes that I think require some specific answers, and we don't have those answers. Whether it's the official story or not, it's not the point. The point is that even members of the 9/11 Commission don't feel as if they did a very good job on disclosing and telling us exactly what went on. And I think we need to open up those books to do that. I don't think we ever will. Now, as you know, there's been some hearings going on in Toronto right now to do that. It doesn't have any teeth. It's more of an informational hearing that some people have put on and some organizations. But we do. I mean, there's some things that aren't answered that we probably will never get the answers for. Let's go next to Culver City, California. Jeff's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, George. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
My question is this, George. I often wondered, what good are dreams that are precognitive, you know, when the dreamer cannot synchronize that dream for his or own purposes or advantages? You know, for example, if you dream of winning the lottery and have all the numbers before you, and once you awaken and go play, you may not win because you haven't the synchronicity to win on that particular day, because you have to be at the right spot at the right moment, you know, for the dream to become a reality. And what I try to do, you know, to make my chances more, you know, to come to fruition is that in the dream, a woman was sold me the ticket, and it was an elderly couple inside of there. It was very hot in the afternoon. It was like a hazy day here in California. So whenever those situations come about, I try to, you know, play the lottery. Like if I see a female clerk, you know, I'll go in there. If I see some elderly people in there, I'll go in. And mm-hmm. So what do you think about the synchronicity? You know, you could have all of these kind of ingredients, but they just don't add up. I mean, they just don't come to the right moment when you need them to come to, you know?
Well, synchronicity is so critical in everything you do. I have a friend of mine who got a call a couple weeks ago from her nephew, and he said, I've just seen an owl get hit by a car. And you know, it's customary, I guess, if an owl gets hit by a car, you pick it up and you bury it for some cultures. And, you know, all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, she sees a dead owl in the street, picks it up and buries it, and they do what they do. How bizarre is that? I mean, she has never seen a dead owl before, and it happens 2 weeks after her nephew sees something like that happen. It is synchronicity. I mean, that's I think everything is done by fate. I really do. And as you know, for years I've said there are no coincidences. Things are done by design. And, you know, that's just the kind of universe we live in. Adam, you're up and you're in Oklahoma. Go ahead, Adam.
How you doing, George?
Good.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sure do. You're driving somewhere, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm actually parked and just disposing of my salt water.
Okay.
In 2004, I had was in a car wreck, and I broke my back and neck, and I was put into a coma. I bumped my head really hard. So anyway, in my coma, remember listening to the news about the gas prices. I remember having vivid dreams about camels.
Now these sounds of gas prices, where were they coming from? A radio in your hospital room or something?
No, they were coming from the TV. My ex-wife, I always watched the History Channel when I got off work, and she knew that. And so the TV was always on, and it was always on the History Channel unless I had a visitor or somebody there to see me and somebody watching the news. And I vividly remember hearing about the gas, prices, about Bin Laden.
So you're awake in a coma. Your brain is still awake in many cases, isn't it?
Right. And I woke up and told my mother that she's what they call a matriarch in church. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Okay. She had a bunch of churches, or 11 churches, as a matter of fact, praying for me. And I woke up and told her, I don't think it was coming out of the coma waking up, but it was when I was asleep. I woke up and I told her that I remember having 11 angels carrying me back. I don't know back from where. And I feel things. I meet people and I feel things about them. I hear about something and I feel things about it. And
you're more sensitive ever since you hit your head.
Right, right. I think that sided my back and neck broke, and was on pain pills for a long time. And I think that we should use, this is back to the economical problem, we should use the prescription, the money they make from prescriptions and from drugs, a percentage of that to help with the economy. And
well, you know, unfortunately, though, Adam, the pharmaceutical companies, they're not going to give up a dime. They're really not. And I don't know if there's any special tax in that or not. I don't think there is. I think the profits flow from the drugstores to the pharmaceutical companies, and they take advantage of that. Barbie is in Orlando, Florida, on the Scariest Moment line. Hi, Barbie.
Hi.
So what happened to you?
Well, I explained that I was scared of airplanes, and when I heard your host talking about, not your host, I mean your...
I'm the host.
Okay.
I'm the host.
When he was talking about dreams and childhood.
Oh,
and
my guest.
Yes. Your guest, yes. Well, he made me think of how it came to be that I was scared of planes. And it was as a child. I lived in Marietta, Georgia, near Dobbins Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like in the 60s. And a jet had crashed near my school. And everybody was, my dad had went over there to see it. And everybody was saying, I hate to say this, that the pilot's head was in the tree. I'm like 6 years old. And, you know, the C-5A would fly over back then, and my house is real close. And so, you know, that was just absolutely, I was so scared of planes from that time on. So I just wanted to share that.
Well, I don't blame you. Now, are you still scared to this day?
Oh, yes.
You don't fly?
I try not to unless it's in dire emergency.
So when you're on a plane, though?
To.
Barbie, when you're on a plane, I mean, are you shaking like a leaf?
Yeah, I mean, I have to get some serious alcohol or something in me.
A little sedated.
I have to get, yeah, seriously.
And you don't talk to people. I don't think you converse. You just, like, sit in your chair and just quiver.
I do talk. I do talk.
Oh, you do talk,
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they have to help me. Strangers help me all the time.
What's the scariest part for you? The takeoff, the landing, bouncing and turbulence? What is it?
Well, I was just in Alaska, and getting to Alaska and landing and taking off to Fairbanks was extremely, there was just seeing the ice on the wings. I was just imagining all these things, and I wanted to get off the plane, and I came so close. It was takeoff. The short distances scare me more than the long distance for some reason. But, yeah.
Well, next time you look on the wing, look for a gremlin sitting there looking at you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Just what you need. Thanks, Barbie. Next up, let's go to Blair in Sedona. Hey, stranger, how are you?
Hey, George, I'm great. I just got back from the D-backs game in Phoenix, and the D-backs are doing pretty good this year.
Yeah, they're strong.
You bet. Well, first of all, let me state there's a very credible terrorist threat. However, I'd like to echo some of what you and Jesse Ventura covered a few months ago. I've seen the former vice president on Fox News on Chris Wallace interview talking about his four heart attacks, where one of them he caught pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
And he was heavily sedated for 5 weeks. And Chris Wallace, I think, asked him about that more, and I think it came out he was unconscious for 5 weeks. So I'm thinking, Manchurian candidate, did they deprogram him and take out the empathy, you know?
You never know. There's not much empathy there, is there?
Yeah, it's sort of like I met a lady here from Switzerland. She came visited, and she said she was at one of these highfalutin councils there. This is just third-hand information, but this is a talk show, so I'll put it out there. She said that Dick Cheney talked to a Swiss guy, and he said he was on a mission from God to save America. So if you look at that part of it, too, you sort of wonder what the heck's going on with a man that never surrounds himself with people who have opposing views in his public speeches.
That is true. Very strange indeed. And let's pray that nothing happens this weekend and in the foreseeable future, huh, Blair?
Oh, hey, George, you got it right. You know, prayer, moral authority. You know, like Pope John Paul II freeing Poland without firing a shot, and John F. Kennedy, you know, that kind of stuff. That's what we need in America.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Thank you so much. Hey, by the way, I want to tell you very briefly what's in store for next week, and then we're going to come right back and take more open line calls next hour. Peter Sale joins us on Monday as we talk about our dying planet. It's a great program where he talks about what's happening about overfishing and into the rest. It's just one of those gutsy shows you'll really enjoy hearing. And then on Tuesday, we're going to be talking about kind of meditation and voodoo and miracles, followed by our Wednesday program where we talk about things that include microbiology and Lyme disease, of all things. A lot of people have asked about that. And then more coming up during the rest of the week on Coast to Coast AM. I'll be right back.